Blog Talk Radio.
Gentlemen, and welcome to Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced this evening. The air date of this episode is March the 1st, 2022. Tonight's subject matter is as follows: the insanity of 2022. We'll be having an in-depth conversation about current world events and the potential impact and effects on a Pan-African level regards to finance, commerce, and the current social order, including the mistreatment and racism of white supremacy against African immigrants, refugees, and students who are experiencing this in Ukraine. All right, folks, let's be real, okay? Putin, you know, he invaded the Ukraine. He's smashing the place. You got Hiding Biden up here, sanctions, this, that, there, and what have you. I'm joined tonight by your co-host, Brother Chay Nkrumah, who is running for mayor of Denver, Colorado, and he needs all the support he can to become the mayor. Also, too, you know, he's very, very active in regard to our unhoused neighbors and the homeless situation in Denver, Colorado, and it is downright inhumane. Brother Chay, you there with us this evening, sir?
Yes, sir. I'm here.
And good evening to you, sir.
Good evening. We have two other callers that are joining us. I believe it's Brandy and Brother Shabazz. I'm going to unmute your mic.
Okay. Okay. All right. Okay, greetings, folks. How you doing?
How you doing, Brother Shabaka? Chay? Brother Shabazz? Black Power? I'm here. There's some feedback on the earth, some staticky. I could barely understand you guys, though.
Okay. All righty. Okay. We're working on it right here. Okay. We got Brother Shabazz definitely walking him in. So how you doing, Brother Shabazz? How's life treating you today, sir?
I'm doing okay, you know, just trying to focus on martial arts. Yeah, I'm just trying to be consistent.
Absolutely. Indeed, you know, and stick with it, man. And then as you already know, man, it'll be second nature to you. And then with these current world events going on, man, everybody should be studying it as well, too. Okay, now, this situation, folks, with the Ukraine, that we already know, Putin, he invaded the Ukraine, you know, he's smashing them, he's bombing them, okay, of course, you know, this is over natural resources, gold and what have you. And then I find it very, very interesting is that China and Russia or the Soviet Union, whatever what the hell they want to call it, is that they're very, very dependent on natural resources of coming off the continent of Africa. Now, it would be very interesting if all those puppet regimes in Africa, the neocolonialists, had came together and said, you know what? The Chinese, the Russians, and the U.S., and all of Europe, you know, they got to come to us to get our natural resources. So the thing to do is to unify the whole continent to keep the resources and watch how much of a game changer that would be. As we all have seen on social media, all we got to do is stand up and it's game over. And that's, you know, my theory on that as well, too. Next question, is this here World War III? Are they going to have nuclear exchanges and things of this matter right here? That could be a possibility, Black family. And keep in mind is that we are expendable, you know, in the eyes of the Eurocentric viewpoint. So once again, as we had always had stated, it is up to us to take care of us. You know, we cannot keep going around killing each other, disrespecting each other, set tripping, you know, things of that nature right there, because we are all we got, okay? Because you could best believe that these other groups, they get great pleasure of seeing our self-destruction. They get great pleasure of seeing our division, you see what I'm saying, amongst ourselves. And then on top of that, we got to have an international coalescence amongst ourselves of all those of African descent. They don't care if you was born in the United States. They don't care if you was born in England. They don't care if you was born in France. They don't care if you was born in the Dominican Republic or Puerto Rico or Brazil. They look at us all as a threat because due to their brutalization, you see what I mean? It's just incredible that we have not done nothing on a global basis about it. But, however, getting to the laws of economics, okay, minerals, okay, silicon, oil, this is what all these conflicts, you know, come from. You know, if you look down through history, you know, there's always been over resources, including land or real estate, because that is a natural resource. That is a factor of production that what we need to do is start controlling for our own selves on a collective, on a worldwide basis. So this is why I appreciate, you know, the brothers down there who's talking about building up the Pan-African Republic. I want to give a shout out there to Black Eye Stand Radio, Do the Knowledge Radio, definitely Frontline Black News. Definitely check us out on Frontline Black News. We have StreamYard, you know, every Saturday night. And I know it's been a while since I've been up here, you know, on there. I've been doing a lot of traveling, doing something called working. Got a little bit of a break, so, you know, I'm taking full advantage of it. Okay, so therefore, you know, we're going to turn it over, you know, to some of our guests and let them get their input in, get some feedback on them in regard to tonight's topic. All right, Brother Che.
In regards to this Pan-African connection, I just don't see it happening, Brother Shabaka, honestly.
Okay.
A lot of these groups, they have sided with white supremacy. They have made it clear where they stand. And I'm through trying to get them on our side. If you're on our side or you're against us, and
these
groups can host their own nuts. Like, I'm sorry what's happening to the African immigrants and refugees and students in Ukraine. I guess they were trying to get to the UK, and they couldn't get to the UK, so they got stuck in Ukraine, and now they're not letting them out. But that's their issue. We have our own issues here in this country. We still ain't got our damn reparations. We still got homeless people out on the streets. We're still being gentrified out of our communities. We got our own issues to worry about, Black family, and this Pan-Africanism has been one-sided. It's been Black Americans, Foundational Black Americans, ABOS, whatever you want to call us, the people that built this country, that have been waving this flag for Pan-Africanism for all these years, all these centuries, all these decades, and it hasn't been reciprocal. Whenever these other groups are in need, they come running for our help. But when we're in need, we have nobody to run to. I was listening to a program earlier called Seven Generations Black, and they were talking about how we should get off of this FBA, we're all that we got here in America. And I'm like, well, where are our allies? Foreign. Where are our foreign allies? Where are they at? Because they haven't made their presence known. And they're sending their tethers over here. We call them tethers because they're brought over to this country to undermine us. They're taught from the beginning not to have nothing to do with us. They're taught at customs not to have nothing to do with us, Black Americans, then how can we have a Pan-African connection? We can't. So, I mean, it sounds good. I mean, I really wish it could happen, but history has shown us it's not happening. And it really hasn't happened since Marcus Garvey. And Marcus Garvey couldn't get nothing popping in the Caribbean. He had to come to America to get anything started because they have too much tourism, too much classism in the Caribbean. And they have the same stuff going on in the continent of Africa.
Exactly. So, that's the neocolonialism.
We have another caller, Shabaka. I don't know who it is. They're out at 916, last 4, 2545. What's your name and what are you calling from?
Okay. Alrighty. Okay. And then of for those of you calling in, you know, please call us at 516-418-5996 and press 1. You know, if you want to speak on the air. Okay, but what it is though, Brother Che, as you said, see, we gotta look at the self destruction of that of what we did, you know, to each other. Even when, you know, when the Europeans that came down there onto the continent, is because their emphasis has always have been divide and conquer. And then what it happens, you know, during the transatlantic slave trade, they came up there with the Berlin Conference, you know, subdivided the continent. And so then, of course, you know, you got South Africans, you know, who ain't too cool on the people from Angola. Then you got the people from Angola who ain't too cool on the people from Rwanda, or the people from Ghana who ain't too cool on the ones from Nigeria. See, all what that is a divide and conquer technique. It's because the European looked at us all as the same. You see what I'm saying? He didn't have no respect for our culture. He didn't really have no respect for our diversity of where we come from, which is a continent of over 800 languages and cultures. So therefore, so what we have to do is, like we have always emphasized on this platform, is that we got to get our children up out of the public indoctrination centers and do for ourselves. See, because that's all what the Europeans are doing. See, that's all what the Asians are doing. Yes, and then, of course, you know, you got situations like that of Russia who capitalized on that. But Russia, China, Europe, they still depended on the continent for natural resources. Yes, see? So we need to use that there as a leverage as well, too. You know, but like I said, this is what we have to emphasize to our youth. And also, too, we got to quit killing each other. Yes, see? And that's another thing that they gamble on, is our self-destruction. You know, we got to put an end to that. We got to focus in on what we do to each other. And even Mad Dr. D, when he was with us, you know, he had emphasized it 3-4 years ago. You see, so we have to address those issues. So once again, we have to start homeschooling our children, break them of this mindset, you see. And then also, too, we got to put an end, you know, to this black-on-black killing and what have it, this black-on-black degradation. And, of course, we are, everybody who listens to our platform know how we feel about Hollywood. You see what I'm saying? So we ain't even got to say that because, you know the feeling of how we feel about that. You know, to the Screen Actors Guild, to the executive producers of all these films, and to the Screen Directors Guild, the Screen Actors Guild. You know our classic two words on that, Brother Che?
Yeah, you. Our classic words are F you.
Exactly. You see what I'm saying? Without a doubt, you see? And so, like I said, and what we got to do is start controlling the commerce. We got to start building. You see, we got to start mining our own resources. Yeah, see, we have to emphasize, you know, build for self. You see what I'm saying? Because this is all what all these other groups do, man. This is all what these other groups do, man. I go over there to the city of San Francisco, man, and they've been coming into the city of San Francisco since the 1850s, and they own a whole lot of wealth over there because they keep it in-house. You see what I'm saying? Us as a people, we're the exact opposite. We want to sit out here and be inclusive with every damn body else, but every damn body else is, comes into our community and capitalizes. You see, rather if it's banking, rather if it's jobs, rather if it's any of the skilled trades, rather if it's the illicit markets, if you know what I mean. See? So this is why we got to control our own means of production and distribution, and we cannot emphasize that enough. You see? And then on top of it, too, just like the Ukraine and the Soviet Union or Russia or whatever, they were over there on the continent of Africa, too, taking all the materials. Same thing just like what the Chinese is doing. And then if we shut off all our resources and unify as one fist, then it's game over. Then the whole dynamic will change. But it's the mindset. You see what I mean? And even Dr. King had stated himself, hey, he led our people into a burning house of integration. See?
Yep.
You know, Malcolm had even emphasized do for self. They say Marcus Garvey, you know, Ben Mazzisi, you know, Tucson Overture.
Martin Delaney.
That's what it is. You see, that's what we have.
Right.
And so what we need to start doing is start becoming entrepreneurs. It's beautiful to get your education by all means, okay? And a shout out there to all the scholars out there who's putting in that hard work, you know, to get those advanced degrees, and it is hard work. But please, people, we got to come in here and we got to implement some own type of businesses and job markets for ourselves. You see, it's because this is all what these other groups do. And I'm not mad at them for it. You know, they're just following the basic economical law principle called self-preservation. You see? What is
Isaiah,
economics? We have Brother Isaiah with us?
Yeah.
Listen, yep, I'm here. What's up, Black family?
Hey, greetings to you there, Brother Isaiah. He's been with us from day zero. He watched his platform grow. And then also, too, we're going to be having some type of ad spaces available for our listeners who's doing some projects in the community. Please inbox Brother Che or myself or Brandy about, you know, what you want to do, what you would like to have advertised on it. We definitely want to give a shout out there to all the new recent likes that we got on our page of Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced, okay, and we're sponsored by frontlinecampaign.org, and also, too, this is where you can find all our contact information. If you're talking about doing something positive in the community, by all means, you know, come on our platform, drop knowledge, and we're trying to unite all of black media, so therefore we could start reporting on things for ourselves and with emphasis in our community, instead of looking at the Cartoon News Network, instead of looking at NBC, you know, CBS, and all that, all the propaganda machines.
Mm-hmm. I don't know what the show about tonight, Black family.
It's about to drop. The Insanity 2022, we are having an in-depth conversation about current world affairs and the potential impact and effect on a pan-African level in regards to finance, commerce, and the social order, including the mistreatment and racism, white supremacy, African immigrants, refugees, students are experiencing in Ukraine.
Yeah, you know, tangibles and reparations. We need those two. We need those two first and foremost. Like we got they need we need to go and get it for ourselves, because ain't nobody ain't gonna help us. We gotta help ourselves out.
Right.
It's time to get up and get down. It's time to stand up on our own 2 feet and fight back, because this shit's getting really out of hand. And now they're talking about we got to wear masks on indoors now. Like, this shit's crazy. I'm not wearing no masks in my house. No, hell no.
We hear they done dropped the mask mandate. They talking about we ain't gotta wear no mask no more. So I'm like, where did the pandemic scandemic go?
I know, right?
I agree.
Yeah. And, you know, me and Pay had a month ago.
And they said, optional. It's optional. You can take it off whenever you want, or you can't keep them on. Like, I'll be like, so, and which one is it?
Okay, Shabaka's back. Shabaka, we lost
you. Yeah, okay, I'm back. Yeah, just had to step off for a second. Okay. Alrighty.
I was they're trying to make this mask optional. You can wear it, you can be free and not to wear it, you can wear it if you want to. I'm just like, and which one is it? Like, yo, I'm trying to make the mandate. Yeah, I guess it's probably going way soon.
Go ahead, Shabaka.
Yes, sir. Okay. Yeah, as I was saying was, you know, is that, because I had to step away for a second, okay, is that we still got to emphasize, too, of what we do to each other and start changing that mindset. You see what I mean? It's because, you know, look at Hollywood down there, you know what I'm saying, is that they got their certain agenda of doing things, although we create a lot of the talent down there and the marketability, but we don't control it.
Just seeing the fathers wearing dresses, the sisters still wearing, and still, you know, being the still playing single up in the household. You know, they do all the propaganda bullshit up in there. They just throw a bunch of and they do out in the street.
And then, too, and from what I understand, Lil Wayne, he did a deal, a $100 million deal with Universal Music, but he ain't controlling nothing.
Right.
So you got to control the resources.
Crazy white folks, then propaganda,
exactly. Exactly. You see what I'm saying? And then the cold part about it is, you see, but this is how we, you know, lose our economical edge. You see what I'm saying? And so Dr. King was right when he was saying is about he led our people into a burning house of integration. You see?
Yep.
And then on top of it, too, is that what you basically are seeing is and what they capitalizing on all across the nation. You know, is the feminization and the demasculization of the black male. You see, you don't even they don't even want the father to be in the home.
Not at all. No,
Okay, welcome.
Yeah, I'm here. I'm just got the phone on mute, but I'm taking care of something right now, but I'm listening in.
What's up, brother?
All right.
Yeah, what's up,
thank
brother?
You for joining us.
I just want to say that I think that the war, the Ukraine shit, is absolutely garbage. I don't think we should be, you know, I know that it affects us and it's going to affect us. I'm just choosing. I would be like, I'm going to sit it down and just chill at home and let them white people kill each other. I'm sorry about the black people, the black students over there. You know, they shouldn't have been over there, but yet they're over there. And I hope they get out.
No, they over there.
You know, cause, so they're safe. Fuck them white people and make it just all, you know, it's like Hitler all over again, man. That's all I agree.
And it's not our fight, though. Right.
It's not our fight. And the fact is that, you know, you got Elon Musk fucking doing the most, man. You know what I mean? And he's been doing the most for a long time. So it's like all this shit is controlled by white supremacy. This is a fucking plan and a half. And let them motherfuckers kill each other or don't. But until it comes on our front set, which is really crazy because Biden just sent fucking 200 troops over there in the last couple hours.
By the way, we have to make our announcement. We're still waiting on you Biden supporters to call us in here. And once again, the number is 516-418-5996. And let's be real with the history of the Democratic Party. It was the Democratic Party, ladies and gentlemen, that brought you the Ku Klux Klan. It was the Democratic Party that tried to keep us enslaved. You see?
Yeah, but Shabaka, that was back then. That's what they'll say. That was back then. That's the Republican.
So it's like real life right now.
Well, take a look at this. Some black people think that they can get rid of the oppressor by sit around and let the time go by and they will treat us better. That's what they think, but that's false.
Mm-hmm. They're going to get a change of heart all of a sudden.
Like, well, I'm not like my daddy. or I'm not like my grandpa or great grandpa. Bullshit.
We will bust back. We will bust back.
We got another.
Not to mention. Oh, go ahead.
Not to mention
that we're not even safe at our own home. We're not even safe where we pay our rent.
Hold on, Brother Shabazz. We got a caller out of 303-549-679. What's the name and where you calling from?
Hello?
Yeah, what's your name and where you calling from, sir? Yeah.
Hey, me brother. This is Ezekiel, the African brother.
Oh, hey, brother Zach.
Oh, what's up? Okay.
I'm good, man. I saw your message.
Ezekiel in the house. What's up?
Yeah, man. I feel your vibration. Yeah, I feel your vibration, man.
What are your thoughts on the movement of African immigrants and refugees and students in Ukraine?
What are my thoughts on the African immigrants and the
refugees
in Ukraine?
In Ukraine, they're not letting them out of Ukraine.
Oh,
yep.
Yeah, I mean, racism is everywhere. You know, if Africans are surprised, whether here in America or Brazil or anywhere in Europe, that the Africans in Ukraine are going through that, I would just say that ignorance is not good. You know, I'm not surprised of the Africans going what they're going through in Ukraine. I mean, it's the black skin at the end of the day that we are facing racism. So the what they're going through in Ukraine is no different than what the Africans were going through in China during the COVID-19 when they were saying, "Oh, you Africans brought COVID-19 to China." You know,
yeah.
The same old racism, whether you're in Ukraine, China, wherever you are. So I'm not surprised.
That's right.
Yeah. I mean, you're right. I mean, I just, you know, I just want everybody to be better. You know what I mean? I mean, we can't turn away.
I blame the African Union and some of those African countries who are just sitting there doing completely, absolutely nothing. There are people who are over there in Ukraine, and you have countries like Nigeria, Ghana, who cannot lift a single word to Ukraine and say, "We're going to send planes to bring our own people home." This is what you see as self-hate, where we don't care for others abroad. You know, instead of Nigeria to send assistance and aid, you see like other European countries assisting their own, but we African people have no love for each other. We cannot assist our own. The same thing that happened in China when we were going through all that persecution. There was not a single African country that stood up to China and say, "What you are doing to our people down there is wrong." The same Chinese people now come to Africa and want to tell us what to do, how to do things. We have no power. We have no power globally, locally. It's just sad. So I blame the African Union. I blame some of those African countries who are just quiet. They are too weak to stand up to the West or Ukraine, you know?
Is the president here messing with the African countries too? By putting them in more of disparage? Is the president here in the United States doing more atrocities to Africa right now, currently?
I don't think so. I mean, I'm not aware of that. I mean, I don't think so. I can say that he's doing some atrocities to my African brothers in the Caribbean, like I do. He has no plan for Haiti. The country Haiti needs assistance with what they're going through right now. Even the way the Haitian people have left to go to places like Mexico and South America, they're being terribly treated and killed. So the president of America has no feelings towards the African people in Haiti. So, I mean, if he has no feelings towards the African people of Haiti with what they're going through, he has no care in the world about the African people on the continent, other than just, you know, as long as we are in line.
For resources, yes. I mean, because he's not doing anything about Brazil either.
Huh?
He's not doing nothing for the black people in Brazil either.
Ah, that's another good one. And the COVID-19 is far worse over there. The racism over there in Brazil is on an all-time high. But, you know, nobody wants to say anything over there. You know, the Africans in Brazil have been going through so much. I don't even know which one is worse. The Africans going through racism in Brazil or the Haitian.
It's about the same, but it's more. I think currently right now we're seeing in the news more Brazil than Haiti. We've seen Haiti for a minute, but it's like I think that it's about the same, if not. I mean, one's a little worse than the other, you know, but equally bad, equally bad.
Yeah, it's just
equally
as bad.
Not good.
No. True. Even now with the you see the so-called North African countries, you know, the Arab countries in North Africa, Morocco, Algeria, they're still enslaving African people over there. The slavery here about Libya is nothing
and
compared
Libya
to
too.
The slavery you're hearing in Algeria, Morocco. Yet those same places, Morocco, Algeria, all those North African countries, they are part of the African Union. But once you travel to those places and they say the word Abdi and you respond, you are a slave and good luck getting out of there. You know? And countries like Nigeria, Ghana cannot even stand up to those places, to those countries and say this is wrong. Yes, we admitted to the African
Union. That's the neocolonialism right there that you have, my good brother. See, that's the neocolonialism. See, that's the problem right there.
Yes.
See, all of us are victims of the neocolonialism on the continent, in Europe, in the Caribbean, in the United States. Yes, see, I mean, just look at the history of how we've been treated in the Western Hemisphere, right? Okay, just like with the rape and slave trade and pedophiles, who were your first five or six presidents, I believe, okay? And the mindset of how they condition, you know, our youth as is coming up. You see, just like in these public indoctrination centers, this is where you learn all about drugs. This is where you learn about gang activity. This is where you start going in and out of jail. Recidivism is so high. See, so what it is we got to get out of the Eurocentric mindset and come together on a collective Afrocentric mindset, is because our very survival depends on it.
Right.
Best believe that these Asians are going to think about themselves first. These Europeans have always thought about themselves first, okay?
Right.
But why are we the only ones who are divided amongst ourselves? You see? Now, these Democrats, okay, these Demorats, and I mean R-A-T, you know, as in rat, you know what I'm saying?
The no, I see a vibration.
Calls like it is.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And they've been selling us down the toilet for the last 50-plus years. Dr.
Hold on.
King,
you know why we're divided, man? Do you know why we are divided like that? There's a reason
why
for
is that.
Why
that, sir?
You know, When you look at the, let's take for example the black experience in Western Hemisphere, you know, the first country to ever become independent from slavery totally was Haiti. You understand? During the Haitian Revolution.
Yes, sir.
Yep. Yeah, during the Haitian Revolution, do you know what African Americans were doing over here in that time period?
Enlighten me, brother.
No.
Well,
they were going
bro?
To Haiti to go and fight against the French. The African Americans heard about the revolution of Haiti. They went.
Yeah.
Okay, let me join my brothers and sisters. The same people from Jamaica. They heard about the Haitian Revolution. They went over there to go and help the Haitian people fight against the French.
Right.
So when
yeah,
when
right.
the
When the white folks, because African American, African Jamaican, African Haitian, they're all the same people. So what the American government did was, because they were like very, very afraid that the Haitian Revolution, which overthrew the French, could possibly be the same thing happening if what if the so-called African Americans overthrew slavery by force. The American government didn't want that. So what they did, because after Haiti became independent, they created these codes called the Black Codes. That is where the divisiveness, that is where you have the divisive, where black people just cannot come together. One of the Black Codes says, in law, if you see two or three people together, break them up. Two black people, two or three black people cannot congregate together during the time of slavery. Otherwise, they'll be thinking they're going to plan another uprise like Haiti. The Haitian Revolution was so powerful that it caused so much paranoia and fear among the whites. So they said to the African Americans over here to prevent that from happening again, please don't allow two or three blacks to come together. They cannot. if they leave plantation, they have to get a pass, like an ID. Can you imagine? So all those things in place is why black people cannot come together. That is part of the reason.
I want to interject in what the brother is saying too.
Go ahead.
I know everybody's familiar with the Pan-African Conference and all that. Now, I'm not trying to get into the demographics of it, but what I'm trying to point out is a lot of our people is not on the same page. So if our people are not going to be on the same page, it's going to be hard for us to try to unify. So anytime we have to unify, just like that's where I'm at. I'm trying to make sure it's quiet, because it's like real loud where I'm at. I'm actually on my way home, so I'm like trying to go down the back streets where it's quiet. But
I understand what he's saying exactly. I get it.
And the thing about like community, you know what I'm saying, is the fact that the last part of that community is unity. And in order to get communication unifying the people, you know what I'm saying, you have to first have communication. In order for the community to come together as a unity, you know what I'm saying? It has to be some type of like vibe within all our people. Now, the thing with Ukraine and they wouldn't let those people in, that's kind of fucked up. But you know what's fucked up even more is that they don't talk about all the hidden black culture that's in Ukraine. They don't talk about all the black stuff, the black dolls and all them people that was there. So what's the real agenda that they're trying to shut down Ukraine, And like the one brother said, it's not our fight. I agree with you. Because I say, let the white folks go ahead and get their shit collapsed. You know what I'm saying? Because
the African people have to pay attention.
The chickens is already roosted. The chickens are not already roosted. We just sitting up there acting on everything.
Hell yeah.
I think I get it.
I think I understand exactly what he's saying. He's saying, I think I understand. Back when the Haitian Revolution happened, they came from other countries to unite to revolt, right? And I think what he's saying
is
it is naturally in us, as well as the separation is naturally in us. We just got to choose to accept the side that we can, go and fight with our brothers and sisters. You know what I mean?
Right,
it's in us. We're only generation
divided.
Hold on, the judge, but we're only generations behind the revolt.
I feel your vibration.
We're not that far behind it.
You know what the Haitian Revolution did after Haiti beat the French? They said any African that is enslaved, whether in America, Jamaica, Brazil, because Haiti was the second independent country after America to become independent. So in the Haitian constitution, they said any African that is in place. Once you come to this land, you are free. That means if you're an African American in the 1800s and you leave, you fled to Haiti or Jamaica because people in Jamaica were still enslaved. People in Brazil were still enslaved. Slavery in Brazil didn't even end until 1888. Haiti is now saying in 1804 that African people coming from those places that are enslaved take your freedom. That is huge. That is very powerful. But now because America, France, Western Europe, now here, this is what Haiti is declaring, that's when the division becomes even more. They want to cripple Haiti's economy. They want to cripple the economy of African Americans and divide them and allow them to not come together. They want to make sure that the black man cannot rise. There is not a single African country that can stand toe-to-toe with a European country. That's a shame.
Right. What it is is that
right
they don't want the black male to be the head of his household. They don't want the black male to be the head
of
his community.
They cannot. They don't want
it. Because, see, what they're in fear of, okay, is the uprising, as the brother was stating. Okay, let's look at Julius Malema. Okay.
Yeah.
Just like Julius Malema over there in Azania. Okay. And then, of course, you know, let's look at, all the freedom fighters that you had over there, Stephen Biko. You see what I mean? What have you. You see, these guys, they want to erase from history. And another group of people that they want to erase from history here in the United States, the Black Panther Party.
They've been trying so hard, trying to make the Black Panther Party a threat. They don't really are not a threat. We just to come together as one. They just didn't like the social like the social justice that played out. So you know they had to fight the system. You know what I'm saying? So
And then the cool part about it is, too, Brother Isaiah, and all the chapters that they had around the United States, and I think they even had a chapter in Caribbean and Algiers. They were feeding school children, okay? Because I remember when they had the free breakfast program, and J. Edgar Hoover had stated that the free breakfast program of the Black Panther Party is one of the biggest threats to the internal security of the United States. So then they come up with Operation Head Start. Now, let's ask ourselves this here, black family, when who was the president at that time? What party? The Democrats, right? The Democrats, right?
The Democrats.
Yes,
I feel vibration, man.
And even Adam Clayton Powell, you know, had said something pretty much to the effect, you know, that our communities need to become self-sufficient. What did they do with Adam Clayton Powell? They kicked his ass out the U.S. Congress.
Come on, get him out of here. He's waking up. Get him out.
And like I said, the only person who I'm voting for in the next election is Jesse Perez for mayor of Denver, Colorado.
Yep, that's right. My brother,
Because that man is out there concerned about our unhoused neighbors. Him and Lady Che go out there and they record these injustices and these inhumane acts of the state and of the city of throwing away a person's possessions. Now, keep in mind there, Han Kuhn and Mark Ridley Thomas with your short, fat, butterball-looking ass down there in Los Angeles. The homeless people are taxpayers as well. Okay? Now, in your hypocritical document called the United States Constitution, and really, and I'll say it here on air. Anybody could take it and wipe their ass with it. It's not worth the paper it's written on. They didn't believe in the shit when they wrote it. I mean, let's be real. Have these individuals who sat up there and supported that bullshit were raping, slave trading, pedophiles. Where do you think Black Friday comes from? Well, they'll take young black girls and put them up there on the auction block, 13, 14, 15 years old. Violate them.
That's all I heard from their brothers and sisters in the Catholic Church. You know what I mean?
Right.
They brother and
this is why, black family, that we got to quit.
And back right
ourselves.
Now. Right now,
hey,
call that.
We got to quit. Killing ourselves.
Call that prostitution.
Mm-hmm.
Like 14 and a 15-year-old black girl out on the street, and you know, with a pimp called that prostitution. Like, God, like, why?
I mean,
and,
you know,
for everybody on the line, if you just really think about, if we was to unify all of these, and I'm going to say so-called organizations, because they all go off of a doctrine that really goes a bait against anything that you find when you find your truer self. But when you get,
right,
let's say, like, some of these Hebrew Israelites, all sects of Islam, whether they're Sunni, whether they're 5%, just the nation Islam itself, the El Rukins, who the those don't know, the Keystones, you know what I'm saying, Hebrew Israelites, all these types of groups, and actually get together, really utilize the power that we have within ourselves and unify each other, we could become what we were years and years that still to come. You see what I'm saying?
Oh, yes, sir.
It takes a lot to really build on that, you know what I'm saying, because we've been all oppressed by that bitch-ass oppressor. And now it's time for us to start making
I would agree with that. I would agree with that, but me as a Garveyite, I consider myself a Garveyite. So that means I follow the teachings of Marcus Garvey.
So we can join your Garveyism
so,
too.
Right.
So
Now, come on now, one at a time. Let the brother speak.
Time,
brother.
Why I'm a Garveyite is because the great honorable Marcus Garvey learned his template and footprints from the great Dessalines. You see how he dressed, you see his colors that he wears. Even the first Haitian flag was black, red, green. So if we follow, if the black people in the Western Hemisphere, America, Caribbean, Brazil, South America, Colombia, if they follow that template that was set in place, because we have an example before us, there's no reason why powerful black states in this part of the world. That's all.
Oh, yes, sir. I
right.
agree with you wholeheartedly.
Yeah, I think
yes,
people
sir.
Are
you're,
lost
you're
faith
indeed.
In it, but I think it's still a good protocol, a good thing to follow. I mean, I think people have lost faith right now with all these new movements, but it's just a fad, you know what I mean? Things are just like, they come in, they come out. They come in, they go out. You know, and that right there has been around for generations. So, you know, I think I did a lot of studies, and I think it's a good thing to follow. I think a lot of good things are good things to follow and incorporate them in your own life. You know what I mean? As an individual.
I feel that
think it's a good thing.
Yes.
Well, see, that's the beauty of where we come from, the diversity of it, is because the continent, you know, is, what is that, three times the size of the United States. And then when these dudes out of Europe had the Berlin Conference of 1888, they're just going to partition the continent, you know, for their own self-interest, okay? Like they talk about Idi Amin, that he was a terrorist. Well, hell, look at that son of a bitch by the name of King Leopold of Belgium.
Right.
Oh, these atrocities. Okay. You see what I'm saying?
That guy is so horrible. I don't even want to go to that hopeless, horrible, demonic person. That person
just like
is a very bad name. Don't even mention that name in my presence.
Okay. Just like when they knocked off Patrice Lumumba. Who signed the executive order and gave John Foster $250,000 to knock off Lumumba. It was Eisenhower. Okay.
Yeah.
You see, this is the stuff that they don't teach our children. This is one of the reasons why we got to get our children up out of these damn public indoctrination centers. Because what are you going to learn in a public indoctrination center? What sets you from? You know, no disrespect to any of the organizations out there. You know what I'm saying? I bow down to them all. But if we take those organizations and unify them into one fist, like Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz has suggested there in New York City.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, see, that
one thing I like with the the Nation of Islam and some of the Black Hebrew Israelites is the idea that they are, we have to separate. If you are thinking that we have to integrate and beg these people to share whites.
Oh, well, yes, sir. You know, it has to be. Because they keep going to our continent for all the resources. Uranium. Okay.
Yeah.
Tungsten. Okay.
Yeah.
Gold.
Ah.
Silicon. What did they say in the movie Black Panther? The vibranium.
Vibranium.
Okay. Yeah.
I feel the vibration, man.
Yeah, that makes all these raggedy-ass, spy-ass cell phones operate. What makes your laptops function. You see what I'm saying? Where they're doing all this digital marketing and all this Cash App bullshit. You know what I'm saying? That's coming from Silicon Games Valley. Right over
not
the
only
south
cash
of Boystown in San Francisco.
Not only Cash App, Bob Shabaka, not only Cash App, Black Fam, they're doing a call on the Bitcoin or Britcoin, and what were they doing there?
All that, brother Isaiah. You see, they're trying to get all this shit to go digital. You see, and then of course we don't prosper off of these markets, but yet though our people are down there on the continent in the mines getting it.
Okay, you see a problem here.
Okay, and then here, you know, you get these crumb-bum politicians like Adams of New York, Uncle Tim Scott down there in Carolina, Clyburn, Michael Hancoon, Uncle Tom Bradley, Los Angeles, short and fat fuck, Mark Ridley Thomas.
All of them,
I agree with
you. You know what I'm saying? I mean, let's look at it. Now, don't get me wrong. I appreciate the accomplishment that Barack Obama made becoming the first Black president. But what did he do for us?
He didn't do anything.
Not a damn thing.
He's more worried about me wearing dresses.
He really wasn't the first black president.
He bombed the hell
out of Africa. He did nothing for the black people in the Caribbean. And he did nothing for the black people in Africa. He did absolutely nothing.
Exactly. And then what happens is he goes over there to President Kenyatta. Now, remember this here, Black family. He goes over there to Nairobi, Kenya, to President Kenyatta. President Kenyatta says, well, welcome, Mr. Obama. You know, we understand, you know, that this is your ancestral land. And we're interested in developing economically and what have you. What does Obama start talking about?
He's talking about trying to homosexualize the Africans.
He starts talking about the alphabetized agenda, and then he was asked to leave, and his next stop was Ethiopia. Oh, my, Ethiopia. The women are hypnotic over there in Ethiopia. Okay. Obama on Air Force One while he's in flight, and he says, well, Mr. President, we heard about your escapade there in Nairobi. Please do us a favor and don't land here and keep it moving.
He didn't say nothing about the police brutality. He didn't say nothing about Trayvon Martin or Mike Brown getting down, you know. He didn't say nothing about that.
And then let's talk about, hold on, Brother Isaiah, glad you brought it up. It's because your current vice president used to be the attorney general of the state of where I'm at. Okay. She used to be the district attorney of San Francisco County. You see?
Right.
She didn't do nothing about the murderers of Mario Woods.
Right.
She didn't do nothing about the murder of Rizelle Ford by the LAPD. The man is mentally challenged. They got him handcuffed, laying on the ground, and then one lapdog is going to go tell the other one to shoot him in his back.
Right.
That's murder. Yeah, see, that's special circumstance under California law. That's death penalty shit. No, but the attorney general at the time, no, uh-uh, no.
They're like, no,
you know
I cannot
I mean?
Talk about that. I'm like, really?
Yeah, you see? And I mean, you know, and then quite naturally, of course, when you mention such things, well, you know, you guys are black racist guys and all that. No, it ain't.
No. Okay,
that feels an injustice. You know what I'm saying?
And the last one, he said he got me. He was saying, he'd be like, everything will be okay. And y'all just black, y'all just be okay. I'm like, be okay, like motherfucker, even though look at stuff in the mirror.
Yeah, that was brother Isaiah saying so to your intelligence. That's what it is.
Right.
You see what I mean? But they take us for granted. You know, just like Los Angeles, California, everybody wants to be a star there. That's why you got Billy Porter wearing dresses. Kill me with black male. Amos and Andy.
All the time.
Yeah, balls, Rochester, all that type of
balls.
Shit.
Yes, master. I'll do everything you say. I will pick up the litter I want you to take my house, master. It's nice and warm. Like, what the hell?
Hell no. I'll beat him out of my house.
And then, too, look at the great icon out of our history, Miss Nina Simone. Now, let's look at Miss Nina Simone.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah. She
spoke
man.
Out. And then, from what I understand, Kamala Harris, when she was the attorney general, she blocked her children from inheriting her estate.
For real?
Yes,
for real. She's not a black woman. She's not a sister of ours.
Her father was from Jamaica.
Her dad was from Jamaica, and her mom is from India. She was born in Berkeley, California, in 1965, which is Alameda County.
Right.
But she just says white.
Black family. She didn't do nothing. Right, I'm about to say, like, she got a white daddy in the she got a white daddy in the house.
Yeah, but you see, but the point is, though,
really
is this.
Bad about her, so.
Okay,
here's
something to consider here on this. When you look at a motion picture made in the year 1954 called Band of Angels, starring Clark Gable was in the movie. Sidney Poitier was in the movie before Sidney made a name for himself when he was up and coming. And what the plot was is that the daughter of the slave owner had realized that she had came from a black mother. And the slave owner had died, and he was in debt. So the debt collectors came up there and said, we want all the land, we want all the livestock, and we want all your slaves, okay? And then to find out that the part that Yvonne DiCarlo had played, she was from a black mother. You see, they didn't tell her that all her life. And her ass became collateral too, or property.
Yep, right.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
You
see what I mean? And then, the hypocrisy of it. Then there was a scene in there where she was saying, go ahead.
No, I was saying, the sister one, what's the name of the movie?
The name of the movie I'm talking about is called Band of Angels. It was made in the year 1957. Starring Clark Gable, Yvonne DiCarlo, and Sidney Poitier was in it. And what it was that Yvonne DiCarlo had learned the hard way is that she was property. You see? That she was the daughter of a slave. So thus, in turn, her status, you know, goes to that on the option block. You see what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Let's look at the great Frederick Douglass. Okay? Was a product of the rape and slave trade and pedophile. You see?
Yep.
Okay, and now this is in your neck of the woods, Brother Isaiah, Maryland. And, you know, the slave master came up there and hit him with that whip and pushed Freddie D off, and Freddie D put some work on his ass, and he had to get him out of Dodge. So he jumped the ship and became a sailor. Freddie D came through San Francisco Bay. They even got a housing project there named after Freddie D.
Yep.
Over there in the Fillmore District, I believe. See?
Oh, it is.
Yeah, see, black family, this is the history that they don't want you to know about. This is the knowledge that they don't want you to have. Just like what the brother was saying in regard to Haiti, okay, where they had stated that if you were there in that hemisphere and that if you was a slave and subject to this brutalization, come to Haiti, we got your back.
Yeah.
You know, they ran Napoleon up out of Dodge down there. And just to show you, you hold it.
You already know about Haiti. Haiti will bust their ass back. Haiti don't play.
But brother, but just to show you
the
significance of that. Okay, just to show you the significance of that, Thomas Jefferson, another rape and slave trading pedophile. Okay.
Right.
Addressed the U.S. Congress, stating that we're going to make it illegal to import Africans into the Americas because these Negroes we already got right here, we already got them on puppet strings. Willie Lynch doctrine is working real good. But them ones who are coming off that boat, taking
you know why that happened?
Right. No, say it again, brother.
You know why that happened? It's not because of that, actually. The kind of revolution that was going on in Haiti and Jamaica, British, because the French had lost control of the island, so they called the English, the British, say, come and help us because we've lost control of the island. We need you guys. The British sent 20,000 soldiers to Haiti and even Jamaica. The British within 5-6 months were defeated. So then the British says, okay, let's go to the British Parliament. We'll go to the British government. This is what happened. They found out that the more you bring Africans to Haiti and Jamaica, the more you're reinforcing their armies because they will just flee and go join the revolution. So that is why Thomas Jefferson said, no more Africans to America. Because the fear is that could happen to U.S. It's not because Thomas Jefferson was like, we already have the black population here. We just want to deal with them. It's because of the big fear that those revolutions going on in Jamaica, Haiti, St. Lucia could possibly happen in the United States. Actually, it did.
Right.
If you really think about it. So that's what I wanted to say.
Yes, sir. And to reinforce what you said too, sir, that's why the Black Panther Party was declared public enemy number one 100 years after slavery ended in the United States in the 1960s. Because what they were doing was that they had legally armed patrols in the city of Oakland, and what they were doing was they had witnessed police brutality, that they would intervene.
Yep.
And then they were also educating the people about their rights to bear arms. So what had happened was there was a senile bastard by the name of Ronald Reagan, who was the governor of California at the time, who signed the Gun Control Act of 1968 in the state of California. And if they catch your ass in this state with a firearm with you, you are doing 5 years.
See, that's a
mess.
You know one group even more powerful than the Black Panthers that gave America this happened on American soil. Now this was like in around the 1800s, shortly after the Haitian Revolution. There's a very, very powerful black group that gave Andrew Jackson a run for their money. In fact, they defeated Andrew Jackson and their armies. Those were the Seminoles in Florida. Have you heard about them?
I did hear about the Seminoles of Florida, because I've traveled to Florida recently.
For 20 years, the black Seminoles were fighting the American government and beating them.
Mm-hmm.
They had to sign a treaty. This was in Florida during the slave trade. Not the slave trade, the slavery.
Right.
A lot of African Americans fled the plantations to go. In fact, the Native Americans in Florida, the Seminole, there was two nations of Seminoles. One was the Native American Seminole, and one was the Black Seminole. They joined forces together now. They joined forces together now in Florida to go and fight Andrew Jackson because they were like, no, we're not going to be settling in Oklahoma where, you know, they tell the Trail of Tears. The Native Americans and the Black people said, no, we're not going to do that, and they fought tooth and nail, Andrew Jackson, the president of America back then, says we cannot defeat them, and signed treaty with the black people over there in Florida.
Sure,
that's
did.
Very
okay.
remarkable, don't you think?
Yes.
Yeah. This here, brother. Didn't they have a chief by the name of Osceola in Florida who pretty much had told
yes.
the Union Army that, because they had the slave patrol going down there looking for runaway slaves down there in the Everglades. And Chief Osceola told them, check this out, man. You got about 5 minutes to shake this spot, or otherwise we're feeding you to these alligators. You know what I'm saying? And I've been through Florida. And I don't ever want to see the state of Florida again. It's because it was the winter month, and it wasn't hot and muggy, but the sunshine was there. But that humidity, man, going around all them lakes and stuff like that, got all kind of critters out there for your ass.
But
the black people back then used it against
out there for you.
The black people used it to their advantage. That's one of the reasons why the Andrew Jackson couldn't defeat them. The black people were actually able to where the whites could not go. The black people could go because we are by nature close to nature, so alligators will not attack us.
Sir.
You know,
right.
Yes, sir.
Because we are close to nature. All those things. You know?
Right.
Yes, sir. And then also too, we have a future commentator, Sister Bianca, who has a lot of knowledge on the African spirituality. Hopefully, she'll join us tonight. Well, she drops a lot of knowledge on that. And then we're also, too, we have another sister, Akshita. Hopefully she'll join us again where she has a lot of knowledge, you know what I'm saying, and whatnot. Because, see, keep in mind, black family, I'm not the most brilliantest person out there. Actually, I'm perhaps one of the most dumbest so-and-sos that I know. You see, but to quote the words of Asada Shakur, I cannot go before the ancestors in the twilight of my life holding my head held high if I did not do my best to relate to the generations after me. You see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You see?
Right.
And this is one of the reasons, like down there in that cesspool called Hollywood in the city called Los Angeles, and Hollywood is a section of the city of Los Angeles, the main ones I'm seeing out there, homeless black family, are our people, particularly the males, particularly black men. The only thing they want black men to do is go in and out of prison, be effeminized, or kill an
entire.
So we have to focus on, as Mad Dr. D had said on a previous episode, and I think he was with us on that one there too, Brother Isaiah, a few years back.
Mm-hmm.
Turn back the hands of time. Well, Mad Dr. D says that we got to do something in regarding of what we do to ourselves. I mean, we admire Dr. Newton. Okay, his birthday just passed recently, you know what I'm saying? They got a statue of Dr. Newton over there in West Oakland, and there's some of you who saw my video on that, the Life Page Shabaka's Black Experience and Answer. But look at who killed him. Okay? Look at who killed him.
I might have to cut this short because I got, a lot of stuff I have to do and everything because I don't know how long it was going to go. So I just want to give you my final thoughts. And one of the things that I wanted to say and just share, thank you again, Shabaka, as I was saying, for allowing me to share my sense on here and stuff like that. And in the future, you have to go by letting me know how I can help. Actually, I would like to talk to you about how to not just donate to your platform, but how to take it to the next experience. Because I'm actually working on a project right now that it's an African festival I'm putting together, a true one, and I'm actually getting some lectures together. So I got to actually call because I got to call up my daughter because I got some stuff with my daughter and her mama. But, I got to call up some lectures. But I want you can probably know more on Brother Che's experience show and stuff like that because I'm going to run it by. But I want everybody to be a part of this. It's something that's going to be not just something that's just going to happen one time only, but I'm trying to get it to happen at least 3 times a month so that we can keep that black experience, of, you know, that African true melanated power in our people, and we can generate and we can keep things back the way it was and get it strong and stuff like that. And everybody on here is wonderful, man. Peace and blessings to you, you know, and remember the struggle. And it never gonna end, but you know it'll end when we sit up there and we go against it, as far as going with the truth and stuff like that, and knowing our roots and stuff like that. You know, I just want to say that and peace to everybody out there. You know,
right on.
That's probably it. Yep.
Me brother Jesse, I have to go soon, man. My brother Jesse, thanks so much for allowing me to come to the show. Thank you very much, everyone. I appreciate you all.
Appreciate calling in, bro. Calling every Tuesday.
Okay, I appreciate you guys. One love.
Can you hear me?
Hear you, yeah. Yeah, one love, Elegua, the ancestors be with you, protect you, Asher, I'll be on the next show.
Okay, thank you so very, very much for joining us, man. And thank you so very much for joining us. And then also, too, ladies and gentlemen, definitely check us out on StreamYard every Saturday night. That's hosted by Brother Che and Lady Che. Yeah, and all this is in conjunction with Frontline Black News.
Okay, who's next with the closer?
Oh, this Jack. I can't do it.
Shabazz.
You're back.
Oh, yeah, Mr. Shabazz, yes, sir.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. My closing is, hey, whatever you learn, just bring it to the black community and start building whatever talent you have.
Exactly.
Yes, sir.
Saying don't go to school. If you have any purpose or something that you love to do, if you just bring it to the black organization or to the black community and start building.
Oh, yes, sir, indeed. And that's what we're trying to do with this platform, too. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
So, therefore, so we are going to be asking donations for this platform. Definitely get in touch with Brother Che. And, Brother Che, you can handle the arrangements on that, can you, brother?
Yes, sir.
Okay, And then also, too, definitely check out Frontline Black News. And definitely want to give a shout-out there, you know, to General Ramel, the anchor man. You know, and we appreciate over the years of all those who have called in, you know, to our platform, former world champion.
Making it stronger.
The scholars, Brother Isaiah, you know, Mad Dr. D may rest in power. And, of course, Brother Che and all those who contributed. And then also, too, for all our haters out there, we thank you, too. It's because the more that you hate on us, goes to show
the
that
more,
we're getting somewhere. Agent Clipper,
and
the other crew over there out of North Carolina who have called me every black so-and-so, every NGR. Tell me, I appreciate your hatred because that means that we are getting somewhere on this platform. You see what I'm saying? And definitely a shout-out there to Do the Knowledge Radio. Definitely a shout-out there to Black Eye Stand. Definitely a shout-out there to the African History Network and all pro-black platforms. And also, too, we got to set up our own independent black media, Pan-African media. You know what I mean? And we don't care if you're from the Caribbean. We don't care if you're from North or South America or the continent of Africa or Europe. One thing that they hate about us black family is our uniqueness. We are the children of the sun. And the more they hate on us, that makes us even greater. And also,
the more
too,
power we
I must say to the heads of Paramount Pictures, to the heads of Universal Studios, to the head of Warner Brothers, to the heads of Miramax and Hollywood Pictures, the Screen Actors Guild, the Screen Directors Guild, the Screen Writers Guild, And we say this here from the bottom of our hearts, and keep in mind,
let's say it all together,
those who have before mentioned, we say this here with the deepest sincerity.
From our heart.
It's two words. One starts with the letter F, and the other one starts with the letter Y. Because of the crap and nonsense and the garbage that you've been perpetuating us for almost 100 years now, that put a one-horse town called the city of Los Angeles on the map and made it one of the most major cities in the world. Yeah, that's how we feel about you, because you're not going to keep
all
up here and disrespecting our people, having, you know, men of Hollywood wearing dresses.
Dresses, right. And also making our black sisters look bad doing on the porno industry.
Oh, like, yeah, yeah, big time, Brother Isaiah. Big time. Big time. But, however, there have been some of our strong black sisters who refuse to go along with that. And, of course, we
yep.
got to pay homage to them, such as Eartha Kitt, Nina Simone, Ruby Dee, and, of course,
yep.
Cicely Tyson.
Yes.
So we have to acknowledge that as well, too. But all you Amos and Andy, your buckwheat-looking tricks, you
y'all questions, yes, the bosses.
Yeah, and all of that.
And
wow.
No. Yep.
And then on top of it, too, in my closing statement, I'm going to say on this homeless situation right here. Okay, what I saw in Los Angeles was extremely sad. Because since the last time I'd been there, it picked up tenfold. What I saw here in West Oakland recently, extremely bad. You got generations of our people being homeless now.
Mm-hmm.
Going on the second and third generations now. You know?
Yep.
And then they got these variants going on that they planting on us, just like with the Tuskegee experiment and what happened.
Yep.
And then also, too, let me say to those clowns over there in Silicon Game Valley, Elon Musk, who's trying to create artificial humans, now they're trying to make female robots to bear children. And as one of our colleagues has stated, this is just nanotechnology. They're trying to metallicize us and make us cyborgs now. The sad part about it is that they got
too.
The money to do it. And then when you go over there to San Francisco that I came through recently, all that empty office space out there, and you got people out there living in the streets, mental faculties are gone.
Yep.
You know, the inhumaneness of being homelessness. In other words, the homelessness that strips the very veneer of your dignity and your humanness,
yeah.
placing you in animal mode, going around
and then,
unclean,
they also get them
unhygienic.
Pills called the mental disorder. The more constant pills make them, what's the word? They make them have mental illness. So, like all the long list of it, of mental illness. I'm like, man, all these homeless people now you're on the street, man. And I'd be seeing one around my way. I mean, I'd be like sure that on all these boxing houses around my way, they should like do something with them houses and put homeless people in there. But no, this damn one, corruption, and you know all this the Democrats and politicians ain't doing nothing. I'm doing that. I'm sure that that's everywhere. So, man.
No, yes, sir.
Did that lady go to prison?
Hello?
Okay, say that again, Brother Che.
Say that again, Brother Che.
Feedback.
Yeah,
we're getting background noise.
I don't know what this feedback is. I was asking if that lady went to prison, responsible for investigating Freddie Gray's case.
Oh, you're talking about her?
What's her name? Marilyn Mosby, brother?
Yeah, Marilyn Mosby. Yeah, that's her name. Sure. They're trying to get her out of the office. So I don't know. What's going on about that right now. So they're still on the investigation, I believe. So I don't really hear much about that. So I think they're still going on that investigation right now.
Mm-hmm.
All right, but guys, we're down to our last 6 minutes.
Okay. Each one, teach one. We all got black family. We need to come together as one. Black unity, black love, all black everything. And I want y'all to come. Want y'all to stop all this bashing and hating each other. It's time to come together now. Because ain't y'all time seeing the same routine? Ain't y'all time seeing the same on thing? Come on Brother Black, Brother Shabbat Black Experience. We're calling every Tuesdays. Sometimes we're doing Sunday for a special time. Like, you know, just come in and, you know, drop knowledge with us. Sure, you know, listen to the real black truth. And not not this fake news and propaganda news and you see on television. Black love, black power. I love y'all. Peace.
Love you too.
Love my brother Isaiah.
Peace.
Peace.
Love my brother
Black family.
Mm-hmm.
Brother Sanchez, your closing statements.
You called me?
Yes, sir. Your closing comments, Brother Shabazz.
Yeah, I just say, hey, just keep striving. I know it's been discouragement or hopeless, but don't be discouraged. Just keep carrying out the mission. Stay black.
Yes, sir. Always.
Sir. Lady Chang,
yes, sir.
Your closing.
Yep. We're at a time of war. Stay black. Stay dangerous. Black power. Black love. Just remember and remember where you come from. And no matter what, hold your vote like you hold your Twilla. Right.
Yes, ma'am. Indeed. And once again, do let me say this right here. We're still waiting for all you Biden supporters to give us a call, and we're yet to hear from you. We understand why. And the number to call in is 516-418-5996. And feel free to leave your comments and your insults, you know, on our like page, Shabaka's Black Experienced Enhanced. You know what I'm saying? We appreciate our haters. We really do. And thank you for your support. And please make sure you spell our name right. And definitely check out Frontline Black News. And definitely check out frontlinecampaign.org. And definitely check us out on Frontline Black News every Saturday night on StreamYard. You know, and feel free, you know, to come in with your insults and your small-mindedness and what have you. But however, our platform has always wanted to do it on the positive, you know what I'm saying? So we definitely appreciate our well-wishers. We definitely appreciate those, you know, who tune in, and we definitely appreciate all of our listeners. It's because there's no change without controversy. And that is my closing comment there, Brother Jay.
Okay. Thank y'all for tuning in to Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced. As everybody has stated, we are all that we got, black family. Ain't nobody going to come save us but us. So in the meantime, we need to do for self, and we need to create our own institutions, create our own everything, and separate and create our own nations, create our own empires, if you will. We need our own everything, black family. And only
that's
way
right.
We're going to get by creating it. So, and nobody going to create it for us. We got to do it ourselves. It's very unfortunate what's happening to the brothers and sisters in Ukraine right now. But as we stated on this show several times, they can literally halt their own nuts. Like, we got our own issues to deal with here in the United States of America. Everybody wants to throw cancer for everybody when they're in in the rest, but when we're in the rest, looking out for us, Black family. So, literally, we are all that we've got. Foundation of Black Americans, American descendants of slavery. And we're going to get our reparations. We're going to hold our vote until we get our reparations. The Democratic Party can collapse before our very eyes. We really don't give a damn. And
right.
Biden talking about unify. Anybody unify is Black people. So thank y'all for tuning in. We'll be back next Tuesday with a brand new episode. So make sure y'all tune into that. And we're still waiting on you Biden supporters. Y'all still have not called in. You know the number. 516-415-5996. So we're going to continue to call you out. We ain't got nothing tangible from this administration. These things are coming up. They want us to go caucusing. They want us to do all the menial stuff that's not getting us anywhere, Black family. And we're saying enough is enough. So, peace, love, life,
indeed,
and empowerment. We're going to go out with love, peace.
This is the 21st century, and we need to redefine revolution. This planet needs a people's revolution, a humanist revolution. Revolution is not about bloodshed or about going to the mountains and fighting. We'll fight if we are forced to. But the fundamental goal of revolution must be peace. Revolution of the mind. We need a revolution of the heart. We need a revolution of the spirit. The power of people is stronger than any weapon. A people's revolution can't be stopped. We need to be weapons of mass destruction. Weapons of mass love. It's not enough just to change the system. We need to change ourselves. We have got to make this world user-friendly. User-friendly. Are you ready to sacrifice to end world hunger? To sacrifice to end colonialism, to end neocolonialism, to end racism, to end sexism? Revolution means the end of exploitation. Revolution means respecting people from other cultures. Revolution is